This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to the May edition of First Friday Focus on the Environment. On the first Friday of each month, we get together with the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters to look at environmental issues from a statewide perspective. And Lisa Wozniak, welcome back to WEMU.
Thank you, David.
One of the issues that's been drawing the ire and concern of environmental groups throughout the state is a package of bills that would create an oversight panel for the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. We have Senate Bills 652, 653, and 654. It's passed the Senate and has been referred to committee in the State House of Representatives. They would create panels that could override the Department of Environmental Quality rulings on all areas of agency oversight. That would include permits and rules on air quality, water resources, and wetlands. Obviously, there are a number of concerns that come to mind. Is another layer of bureaucracy one of your concerns?
Well, that's one of my many concerns. This is a bill package that we've dubbed the fox guarding the hen house, and for all good reason. Two out of the three proposed bills in this package have incredibly detrimental potential impacts. Having regulated industries set Michigan's environmental rules is like literally putting the fox in charge of the hen house, and if it's fundamentally reckless. These are regulated industries that would be put in a position to set their own rules when it comes to protecting the health of our families and our natural resources. These are industry representatives and industry interest groups that would benefit directly from the lax environmental enforcement.
What industries are we talking about?
Well, I mean, right now, Senate Bill 652 has 11 different positions outlined. They include a representative from the oil and gas industry, so you can imagine that could be Enbridge. The solid waste industry, we have one of the lowest tipping fees in the country here in the state of Michigan. Manufacturing, a public utility. In Maine, that has passed a similar bill, they have Nestle sitting on one of these oversight committees. So imagine, I mean, look at the struggles that this state is having in dealing with our water. We have challenges from water withdrawals. We have contamination issues, more so than I've ever seen in the time that I've worked in this space.
Is there not room for those voices in determining state policy?
Their voices are important to hear, but not in an oversight and in a place of authority that overrules, frankly, the decisions coming out of the very entity that we've put in charge of protecting our public health and way of life here in Michigan.
Does this come off as a lack of confidence in the ability of the Department of Environmental Quality to oversee the state's natural resources?
Oh, I think it's a power grab, frankly. It could be a lack of trust, but, you know, I think we should go back in time, which we rarely do, and look at what the history of our two agencies have been, dating back, you know, 10, 20, many, many years, to see where this has all come from. If we go back in many, many decades ago, there were two eras in Michigan's past where we actually had an incredibly fine reputation in protecting our air, land, and water in this state. In fact, in the 60s and through the 80s, the Michigan Department of Natural Resources, which was then a singular agency, attracted national praise for things like making Michigan the first state to cancel the use of most DDTs and championing the reduction of phosphorus, which led to the recovery of Lake Erie. Now, the governor at that time had to push them a little bit, but that did happen. The state also adopted tough requirements for sulfur and coal that could be used in Michigan, attacking things like acid rain and smog. And one of the reasons that this happened is because we had citizen oversight commissions. We had citizens actually looking at what was best for our state and what was really most important for public health, not industry.
You're listening to First Friday Focus on the Environment. It continues on 89.1 WEMU. We're talking with our content partner in this monthly feature, Lisa Wozniak. Lisa is the executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. Now, in the eyes of environmental advocacy groups like your own, the DEQ has already been making some questionable judgments and decisions. You can look to the granting of the permit allowing Nestle more water withdrawals, lack of follow-through on scientific evidence that Wolverine Worldwide had been dumping PFAS into the water in Plainfield Township, and it's now being found in highly elevated levels in tap water. And then there's the ongoing cleanup of Enbridge oil spill in the Kalamazoo River system, its aging pipelines in the Straits of Mackinac. Might more oversight be something that could ultimately benefit the people of Michigan and its waters in a capacity other than the citizen oversight you're talking about?
I think there's a big job to do in addressing the morale, the integrity, and the focus of what we currently call the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. This is an agency that has been battered and bruised, not only because of the Flint water crisis and what that has done to the people that work inside that agency, including lower-level officials being sued for their role in that. But if you look back through, starting with the Engler administration, we once had a singular agency that was unified in its focus of protecting everything from our parks to our people. And that agency was split and then reunified under Governor Granholm and then split again. And the actual charge of what is now the Department of Environmental Quality has things in its mission like wise management of Michigan's air, land, and water. It doesn't say protection. It doesn't say human health. It doesn't mention pollution. And what would it look like if we had a department that was the Michigan Department of Environmental Protection? And what would it look like if we had words in its mission that talked about addressing impairment and destruction and assuring that we have a healthy people and a healthy place? That is, I think, the job that needs to be undertaken.
There are some, to play devil's advocate here, that would say, why is it that you and like-minded groups and organizations to the Michigan League of Conservation Voters get to determine what wise management is?
Well, going back to my comments about having the citizen oversight and rather than the industry oversight, which we had in years past, including under the tenure of a revered DNR director, Howard Tanner, we had a state that actually did things like address the ruin that had come from over-harvesting our forests. And we took a strong look at that and said we need to literally replant and regrow and rebuild what was once our natural heritage here. I think that's a universal sort of value in the state of Michigan. People in Michigan value our outdoors. They certainly value their water, our water, and the ability to turn on our tap and trust what's coming out of it. And we've gotten to a place right now where that's actually not possible for hundreds, if not thousands of people across the state.
Governor Snyder's administration, as you've noted, has been under national scrutiny since word of the Flint water crisis first broke. Last month, the governor declared Flint water safe and ended the bottled water program for residents there. More than 100 of those residents then descended on the state capitol saying they trust neither Snyder or the safety of the drinking water. What would you like to see in the remaining months of the lame duck year in office?
Yeah, it's hard to be a lame duck governor no matter what. And in this case, he has his own party in control and doesn't have their support for many things. So I would say, first and foremost, the decommissioning of Enbridge Line 5. That is within the power of the governor and the attorney general to address that issue. It's a huge threat to our Great Lakes. That would be number one. Number two is, frankly, vetoing any of these egregious pieces of legislation that land on his desk, including the fox in the hen house, these oversight committees that are being proposed, a veto of the perennial, it seems, no stricter than federal bill. And then I would say that dismantling the mythos around some of the contaminants, we have this idea that, you know, 70 parts per trillion is an okay level that's never linked to any human health studies on the PFAS, the PFAS work. I think actually speaking boldly about the need to actually address those problems and dismantling the mythos around what is actually safe for human health, those would be some fine steps for this governor to take.
As we talk about Governor Snyder being in a lame duck year, that means we're also looking toward the midterm elections. What do you expect when it comes to environmental issues? Will more conservative candidates move toward the center on some of these issues? Will the more liberal move further to the left? What are we going to see in terms of how people shape the arguments heading into the ballot boxes?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think we're already seeing some shifting. The Enbridge Line 5 issue has actually gotten to a point where we're seeing individual lawmakers, both at the congressional level and at the state level, step out and actually take some action as it relates to this. Now, we've got a Republican member of Congress who's actually put forth a pipeline bill at the federal level because he sees that his constituents are incredibly worried about this. This is not an issue area that he's ever done any work on before. We have two Republican lawmakers in the north near the Straits, State Senator Schmidt and State Representative Aller, both of whom have actually called for the shutdown of this. And these are Republican lawmakers that, again, know that their constituencies care deeply about this. And with the water challenges we're seeing across the state, I think it's come to a crisis point. And I think that candidates across Michigan are going to be hearing from about this from their constituents and their voters, and they're going to have to respond. And we are advocating that no matter who you are and where you are in Michigan, you should be running on a bold with a bold vision and a comprehensive plan for addressing our water crisis here in the state. And I'm hoping that every voter demands that of those who intend and hope to represent them.
And I do hear the hope in that statement. Do you have actual optimism?
Yes, I do. It's based, unfortunately, on the fact that our water has gotten to a point where it's literally not safe coming out of our taps. I wish that didn't have to be the reason for people to take action. But I do have optimism, and I do think we're going to see a change come November in who is elected to office and what they are speaking about, because the voters are speaking about it, and they are going to have to respond.
I do appreciate your time, as always, and your perspective. Thank you very much, Lisa.
You're welcome. Thank you, David.
That is Lisa Wozniak, the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and our guest each month for First Friday Focus on the Environment. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.